Hi, everyone. I'm Christina, a compulsive gambler in recovery.
And I'm Kelly, an affected other.
And we are together again for our podcast series called The Other Side. And this is just a little bit backwards because we actually put out the first episode instead of like our chat with one another. So we're just revisiting Kelly and her story and kind of where she's at now in recovery, right? For those that can't see her, she's shaking her head yes. Yeah,
sorry everybody. Yes, so I just wanted to jump on, and we were going to do a little bit about what I've been doing over the last couple of months and just how I've been taking my recovery. And as of recently, I decided to put out my own podcast. It's called I Butterfly, a podcast for affected others. And pretty much it's just me talking about my side of it. Just, I wanted to get a voice out there for affected others. I was on a search of my own, trying to find something with just trying to have some type of support for myself being an affected other. I have heard of other GA podcasts out there and stuff like that. I heard Christina, Brian Hatch, my husband, Steve has one, but I couldn't find one for affected others, which I thought was kind of crazy. So I just decided on a whim to put one out, you know, just talking about my experiences, how I'm going about my recovery and things like that. So you can search me out that way. It's on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah. And we'll put all the links in the show notes. And just to clarify, we are still going to be doing the series, The Other Side, where we talk with other affected others together, like as the compulsive gambler and the affected other. So you've already got 4 episodes out. We're kind of like recording this after we had our conversation, because when we had our conversation, we weren't talking about the podcast. The 4 episodes that you have out at this point, they're really you just kind of sharing your story and kind of different aspects of your journey, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just about what I had gone through, talking about the first day, what I do now just to kind of get myself through my recovery. It's essentially like a vocal diary of, you know, what I'm going through, and which I guess podcasts usually are. But I'm trying to make it more personal, just in the effect, you know, I'm trying to share my feelings. I'm trying to normalize what it's like to be an affected other. I'm just trying to get a voice out there just so other people can listen, and maybe if I can help them understand how they're feeling, why they're feeling what they're feeling. You know, I know that when I first started in my recovery, I had all these feelings, and I felt like I was going crazy, because I'd feel up and then I'd feel down. I felt like I was somebody that was insane. I felt like I should just be clinically insane. So that's what I kind of talk about in my podcast, because I want people to know how normal it is. You know, you have every right to feel what you're feeling, and, you know, it's normal. Everything you're going through, so many people go through it. But unfortunately, there's not much of a voice out there for us, for people that are affected others. So I just felt like it was kind of important to get something out there. So I did do this on a whim, which is why Christina and I had to re-record everything. It's been a few weeks, and I pretty much decided very, very quickly that I was going to do this. You know, I had my husband kind of, I don't want to say pushing me into it, but he was pushing me into it, because he's like, you know, it'd be really great if you did this, you know, just to put some type of support out there. So, you know, I took the leap, and, you know, here we are. So,
which is absolutely excellent, because it is something that is so needed. I see this every day in the recovering communities that I'm in. There's always a spouse that comes in and she's like, I just found out my husband's been gambling, or my partner's been gambling, and I don't know what to do. Like, and most times they just want to understand. Mm-hmm. They want to understand what's going on. It's not like they're there to yell at us thousands of gamblers. You know, they're there to just try and figure out what the fuck is going on, you know, and how to process it. And so I just think it's absolutely wonderful that you're putting out this podcast and kind of, you know, walking somebody through the process of of just, you know, kind of like what I did in my early recovery, is just kind of like walking you through the vulnerability and the process of just trying to sort my own mind out. And so I know that's going to be so helpful, and I appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come on and re-record this intro, because you were like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, no, I want to talk about this. So I want to give my shout out to Gambian while we're on here. If you are somebody who has struggled with online gambling, especially with it on fire right now, especially with the sports betting and everything, go to Gambian.com, download their software, get those blockers in place, get it on every computer you've got, every device you have, and give yourself a chance to start recovery. So they're a great company, and I appreciate their support. So let's roll on into this episode.
A couple of weeks ago, Steve and I had a conversation because I was telling him that for a while, it was hard. It was almost like, the best way I could describe it is feeling afraid of him in a way. Like, throughout all of this, as much as it's like made me stronger and stuff like that, like, I'm not a very cuddly person, and Steve very much is. But now it's like, I was finding that even like, if him and I were like laying in bed cuddling together, that fear would creep in me. Like, it's almost like being terrified of the other shoe dropping. So it's like, you know, I've built up this wall around me, and then like times when I feel like it's coming down a little bit, I get so scared and I feel like I have to build it right back up.
You know, that's interesting, because even somebody for me on the other side of addiction, I very much feel like that, not so much with like my spouse, but just with life in general. Like, I'm just like, when things are going good, you know, and it might be that, you know, you're in that moment of like just bliss, or I don't even know if bliss is the right word, but just comfort. And then it's just like, it's uncomfortable being comfortable. When in recovery for me, it's very much about being comfortable in the uncomfortable. Because I have to kind of work through uncomfortable situations a lot, but there's always this constant fear in the back of my head, especially in moments where I feel comfortable, like what's going to happen tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to get some letter from some random creditor, or something, like just something from my past, because there was so much that I neglected while I was in active addiction that I'm still kind of putting out fires here and there. And it's, you know, for anybody who struggled with it, it takes a long time to sort out. If you were somebody like me, who, you know, the last part of my addiction was just like, I avoided everything. I avoided, you know, just everything that normal people don't avoid. And so now in recovery, it's a lot about like putting out fires and stuff like that. Are you this far in recovery, like for yourself, are you still in that position where you're kind of finding things and having to work through them? Or,
oh yeah. Are things pretty, I mean, there? There'll be like now there'll be a few weeks that go by where it's like, you know, everything's fine. I feel great. And I'm always like ready to tell my therapist that, you know, I'm good now, but then something will happen and then I'll just be right back in that place. So it's like a cycle. I'll go for a few weeks and something will trigger me, and then I'll get angry or upset. And now I find what I'm doing is I'm getting angry at myself for having certain feelings. Like, perfect example today. Steve and I had dropped the kids off at his mom's. So we were kidless for a day and a half. So we woke up this morning, we had breakfast together, you know, everything was good. He went outside, he had to chisel like 2 inches of ice. So he was outside for like 2 hours with the driveway and stuff. And I was just kind of doing my thing inside. So I just basically figured, okay, like when he comes in, we'll go grocery shopping together, just kind of make a day out of it, just us or whatever. So when he came in, I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to go to the store. Do you want to come with me? So then like, I think it was his first reaction that really got me, where he was like, well, I have to go to the gym. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, all right, well, that's not really what I was thinking, but okay. And I don't know what happened, but just this complete upset feeling came over me.
And automatically I jump back to 9 months ago. I don't, not so much like the feelings or that, you know, he was doing anything, like it wasn't anything like that, but it was almost like, I don't know what it was. Like, I'm like in my brain, I have this in my head. Okay. We're going to spend the day together. And then his initial response is to go work out, which normally this would not bother me. I'd be totally fine. But something about it just really upset me. And I was like, I don't know what this is. So, you know, like he was like, well, then he was saying that he's like, no, I can just go to the gym later. But it was just that initial response that really got me. And I was like, no, no, it's fine. You just go, I'll go do my own thing. But clearly I was upset and he knew about it. So I just brushed him off. I went anyway. And like, I'm like, why? Like now the word codependency is running through my brain. So I'm getting so angry at myself because I'm like, what would my therapist say about this? Like, you're being ridiculous right now. Just stop. But I couldn't, like, I don't know why I was so, and I'm like trying to think, like, is it because of anything that happened in the past? Is it like something going on right now? Like, what is going on? So eventually we worked through it. Like, you know, he called me, he was like so understanding about it. He said that he shouldn't have responded that way. He understands, like, you know, I wanted to spend time with him. And, you know, even still, I was so angry because I'm like, I literally sound like a child and this is so stupid.
Not at all. Like, your feelings are valid. Like, never, never, you know, devaluate your feelings. Like, it's always good to work through them and figure out, you know, why we have them, but never, never not validate those feelings.
Like, I know, but it's like, it's so silly. Like, stuff like that is so silly, I feel like, you know, but, you know, we were
able. How do you feel like you communicated, like, if you're looking at the situation back now, how do you feel like you could have communicated it differently?
I should have been straightforward with him and not so dismissive and just been like, oh no, I'm fine. And that's like the word that I kept using. I'm like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's okay.
Everything's fine. Clearly I'm not fine. And I felt bad because he kept really trying to talk to me about it. And I just kind of shut him out and I just left. Like, I was like, you know, I kissed him goodbye. I was like, you know, have a good workout, be safe. And then like, I was very short because that was also me being angry with myself because I'm just like, I understand, like, yes, you're human. You're going to feel what you're going to feel. There's reasons behind it. But also at the same time, in these last couple of months, if I've learned anything, it's how to stand on my own two feet. And really, it's grocery shopping. It's not that big of a deal. Like, stop being so upset. So I think I was more angry with myself than I was at him. Really, he did not do anything wrong. It was just me in my head. But I do sometimes get triggered by those things just because, you know, I look back and I think to myself, when everything first started, I was so in my head and I was like at first saying how ridiculous I was being and that nothing was going on. And then I got hit with this huge truth. So, you know, then that starts to trigger me a little bit there and sends my mind going because I'm like, okay, well, internally, you know, more than you think, you know, and then if I let, normally I'm able to stop myself now, like I'll just I'll shake my head and just be like, stop. When I really know that I'm going down that rabbit hole, but you know, like
sometimes it just happens, but it sounds like you guys can work through it. Like it's just, and that's, I mean, you got to look at it, still 9 months in recovery. I'm 11 months in recovery and I'm still, there's still emotions that come out of nowhere. Like I'll have moments where like my breath is just completely taken away when I think about like an action or a behavior I had or something I did while gambling. And I'm not sure how long it takes. I think for everybody, it's a different process, but I think it's just understanding it. And it sounds like you're very self-aware of it. And I think that's the biggest key. And it's great that Steve's so understanding too, because like it's great that he's working so hard on his recovery because he can see it too, right? It's not like he's brushing you off. And that's pretty great.
Right? It is. Yeah. He's doing amazing. He's, you know, the biggest thing that he's learned is just to worry about his recovery. I worry about my recovery. You know, it's not always easy because you're so quick to want to take care of the other person. And I'm sure that for a lot of people whose significant other isn't in recovery, it's like, you know, you so badly just wanted to take care of them, but you have to remember to take care of yourself first. Absolutely. You know, and I'm very lucky that Steve's doing that. I'm very grateful. He's come a long way in his recovery and he is very understanding. So that I'm very, very lucky. A lot of times it seems like when things happen, it's usually because of me at this point, you know, it's because my moods could be up and down, or if he says something the wrong way, I'll just take it in a certain way and I'll just explode, you know, not meaning to. And then what happens, it's almost like a cycle, like what we're talking about, because I'll explode, I'll get angry at myself for exploding, knowing that he didn't deserve that. And I know he didn't mean anything maliciously. So then I'm like, why am I so upset by this? You know, I don't know if that's normal in relationships or not, but
you know, I imagine it's normal in relationships, but let's talk about something that nobody ever really talks about, women and their cycles, right?
Mm.
So when you really think about that aspect of it and you bring that aspect into it, like where you're at, where your hormone levels are at certain emotions, like, you know, the week before, I don't know about you, but the week before it was always just like, I probably could have just cried at anything, ate everything, cried at anything. Somebody said something wrong to me, I'd probably tear up. Like, and I think when we talk about recovery, and this is important for women because it is not talked about. When women in recovery, whatever they're in recovery from, if they're still in this cycle of, you know, having cycles and having the emotional cycle, and if there's somebody that struggled with emotions prior to, you know, that monthly time, it's like, why wouldn't that play such a role in our emotions in recovery? Right. And I think too, as a gambler, you know, there would probably be 2 weeks of the month where I'd be like, I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this to myself. But come that third week and my emotions were like, you know, crazy. It was just like, I needed, like, I couldn't handle my emotions. And so I needed that escape. Whereas the 2 weeks prior, when my emotions were a little more leveled out, I could think through it a little better. And so I think too, like when women step into early recovery and it's hard for them to get to that 30 days, are they acknowledging, are they tracking where they are in their cycle? Are they tracking, okay, this week is going to be a tough week for me because my emotions are going to be all over the place. So I need to kind of prepare for this. And, you know, is that something that you've thought about in your own recovery?
Well, it's actually really funny that you say that because today I am a week away. So that could be a reason why we got into it the way we did. And literally I was walking around the grocery store trying not to cry, which is not normally like me, you know, usually I'm good. But yes, I do notice that I tend to be a little bit crazier about a week before. So I think that would be something that would be a good idea for people to track where they are and stuff like that. But
maybe if they're questioning, like, why, you know, like, why? I mean, there's so many emotions behind it. I mean, yes, like, there, I can imagine, you know, and we aren't professionals here. We were just talking, but I can imagine, you know, like, I don't know another term for PTSD when it comes to this, because I feel like I have PTSD from my own gambling and from the stuff, you know, just the years of stress and cycles. But I can imagine, like, I don't want to apply that term, but I can imagine like there's just instances that are just going to trigger it just from the years of I hate saying like the word manipulation or, you know, the years of you thinking something's wrong, but him telling you there's nothing wrong. And then like, I can see where just an instance would just trigger that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can see that. And so then it's just trying to figure out where that's coming from, whether it's an emotional jump or whether it's like an actual like trigger jump.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of us women, we just, it's like double the work, it feels like.
Then yeah, because you have to try to like regulate, like, you don't want to come off as being completely psychotic and like screaming about nothing.
But at the same time, you're fucking pissed.
Uh-huh.
Fucking pissed. Yeah, I can just imagine on that. But so how is everything else going though? Like,
yeah,
I know you're very, very busy.
Yes. Very busy, schoolwork and stuff like that. But for the most part, everything's going great. You know, I'm doing my thing, very busy with the kids and with school. Steve's working a lot and, you know, we're trying to really take more time for each other. We're trying to just be more in the moment, and we're trying to, you know, we're trying to help other people by, you know, Steve's doing his podcast and stuff like that. So, we've both kind of dove into our recoveries pretty well, but obviously it's still a work in progress, as I think it's always going to be. You know, but for the most part, yeah, everything's been great. I mean, it's like I said, some days it could be like a battle, some days it could be wonderful. So, you know, it's constant up and down, but I tend to also, just from listening to other people talk and stuff like that, I think that I get so angry at myself too, because I'm always like, am I allowed to feel this way? You know, there's so many people out there that have a much harder time than I do. You know, like some people's significant others don't want to admit that there's even anything going on. So, you know, I tend to get down on myself about that as well. I could feel what they feel, you know, when they talk about the manipulation and stuff like that. But, you know, I almost feel bad because Steve's doing great. But I also know I'm not going to sit like in the honeymoon phase of this either. You know, I'm going to be very, I'm just going to make sure not to get too complacent, I guess. I'm going to try to be, you know, more cognizant if something's going on with him, if I'm noticing that he's stressed, or, you know, if I notice anything, I'm trying to go with my feelings more and not keep questioning everything, because there is usually a reason why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, even if it is a week before my, you know, before my cycle's happening. But yeah, for the most part, we're doing well.
Always go with your gut. Always go with your gut feeling. And if you have a question, ask it, you know. And I think, as somebody who was a gambler, like as the addict, you know, if I'm questioned, I need to answer it, like, and not have my defenses up. You know, our biggest issue with my recovery, my husband is not in recovery, in any aspect. So our biggest issue is when we talk about finances, you know, like for the most part, he's even cool. He doesn't really throw it in my face or, you know, I don't see much anger in that aspect until there's something he wants that costs like a significant amount of money, or it's a significant purchase, and we can't do it because of my gambling, because of the debt. And then also just not, you know, just needing to put any extra money we have towards the damage that I did. And so that's kind of when his anger will show up for, you know, with me. And, you know, it's usually short-lived, and eventually he'll come around to it. But that's kind of one of our biggest struggles, I think, in our journey. And I know we were talking a little bit before I hit record about kind of the change in roles for that for you.
So what I'm finding in our marriage is that I'm the one that's feeling more of the pressure of the finances, just because when everything happened, that was one of the, I guess, the laws that I laid out, was just that I will be in charge of all the finances. And, you know, I opened up bank accounts in my name. I have the debit card. I give Steve, you know, a weekly allowance. And it was very hard at first being a stay-at-home mom, because I'm not making my own money. You know, this is him that's working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. So that was really hard for me at first, because I'm like, he's the one making the money, but I'm the one giving him an allowance. Like, I almost felt like I was taking his dignity away from him. So that was an extremely uncomfortable thing for me to feel all the time. You know, now we've kind of gotten used to it. And he's been very good with it. It was a struggle for a little bit on my part, not on his part. But since we've kind of gotten into the groove of it, now that I'm the one looking at everything and seeing all of our money going out, I'm the one now saying, like, we can't buy this. Or, you know, if I want something, I'd rather just go without, because I'm like, okay, well, we have this to pay for. Or if bills are going up, you know, I'm the one now getting all the stress. Not that he's not, but I kind of try to leave everything up to myself. I try not to tell him too much, because I don't want to stress him out. you know, that was one of his triggers for a while. And that was what led him to gambling for a while, just because he felt the pressures of having to take care of something in the house, or if we had bills to pay, he felt all this pressure. So I'd rather I feel it than he feel it. You know, for the most part, when money is going out, I'll usually tell him, okay, you know, this is for this bill, this is for that bill. So I'm keeping him in the loop with that. And he has offered to do a budget. Like, I know Gammonon offers a budget that you can stick by. I'm not really that great with budgeting though. But it's just, I've noticed there to be a shift in our household that now, you know, as we were talking about before, he's thinking of all these things for Valentine's Day, which normally I would have thought was so sweet. I still think it's so sweet, but now I'm feeling the stress of that. Like, if he's talking about getting a hotel or, you know, doing dinner and doing all this different stuff, I'm just like, oh my God, how much is this going to cost? Whereas that used to be him, you know, internally though, he would never say it to me. So now, you know, I pretty much just told him, I was like, you know, just book the hotel, do whatever you need to do. Just don't tell me about it because I just don't want to feel the stress. Like, I appreciate it so much that he wants to do that. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, that money can go somewhere else. It can go towards bills, or it can go towards something else with the house, or just anything else. You know what I mean? So we've definitely had a shift, and luckily we're not fighting about it. You know, we're kind of laughing about it. But I almost feel like, is it going to be one of those things where we laugh about it now and fight about it later? Because I'm almost worried about it. Like, is it going to become too much for both of us, you know? And like, then we're going to fight and then throw it in each other's faces. And I don't know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but you know, you never know.
I guess it's all about finding the balance in it, right? Yeah. It's about finding the balance and just, you know, spending a little bit of money on yourselves and treating your, you know, like taking, like that to me is considered self-care, you know, taking a night away, spending it on yourself. That to me is self-care. And that is something that's so important in recovery, right? It's just taking a little bit of time for yourself. But then at the same time, I completely understand the money side of it. Like, okay, I need self-care, but I don't want to pay for it kind of thing. And cause I struggled out with myself. And so I'm not sure. I guess it's just about finding the balance of that. And I think as you navigate, I mean, you've done so well at navigating, you know, and cause you're really the first affected other that I've had a conversation with. And it's just been so mind blowing to me how much your recovery has mirrored mine as far as for like the things that you've done for your recovery. You know, it really kind of surprised me. Surprised me is not the right word. It did, because I didn't ever think about recovery for the affected others. And as awful as that sounds, but I didn't even know about recovery for myself. So to think outside of myself, you know, especially in early recovery, was really, really hard. And so I'm still just in awe on the way that you've just taken it on and really have stepped up and done that. So I guess it's just, you know, moving through it every day, just like I do on my side of my recovery, is just put the boots on and, you know, go through it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, you know, and that's one of the things that my therapist told me. He's just, and I think that's why I'm doing so much of this, you know, cause I'm just like, I mean, when everything first happened, I was completely destroyed. And I was like, you know, my first response was, what am I going to do? How am I ever going to get through this? You know, is my marriage over? How can I have a marriage without trust? I mean, that was the hugest thing for me, was the trust. And once that was broken, I was just like, I don't know how we're ever going to survive this. But then I was also like, well, we have two young children who love their father dearly. You know, I don't want them to be from a broken home, because honestly, I think within like the first week, my dad lives in Vegas. My first initial thought was, okay, I'm moving to Vegas with the kids. Like, I'm going as far away as possible. But then once I was able to calm down, I'm like, okay, well, no, I'm not going to uproot my children. And then plus the fact that, you know, I was not ready to just give up on Steve. I knew that he was more than that. And I knew that there was a reason behind it. And, you know, it took so much talking through and it took so much work on his end and on my end. And honestly, if I didn't have Gammon, which I had never heard of before all this, and if I didn't have therapy, I don't think I would have been able to get to where I am now. I understand. It's funny because as with my therapist, he has been amazing. I mean, talking about having such awe in somebody, I put this man on such a high pedestal because of what he's done for us. I realize that you have to do the work and stuff, but there's something about the way in which he did that. He did everything he did for me that honestly, it saved my marriage. It saved my life. So I'm a huge advocate when it comes to therapy. If you find the right therapist, it's amazing. But really without that, I would not be where I am right now. It's just, you know, it's all this different stuff. And then even like when I first talked to you and talked to Tiffany, my whole thing was that I need to understand this. And I also, the fact that I'm hearing this from another woman, I thought was so helpful. And I really just, to me, when I spoke to you guys in the group that, you know, the first time that we talked, I'm like, this is people just like me. You know, I related so well with all of you, all of your emotions. You know, I was able to feel everything. And I was like, you know, this is something that easily could have happened to anybody. You know, it's having an addiction. It could be, it doesn't even have to be gambling. It could be whether it's alcohol, it's drugs, shopping, working. It could be literally anything. You know, and me, I'm someone that suffers severely with anxiety. I'm getting better with it, but I don't think it's all that different when you think about it. Like, it's not something that you can control. There's something in my brain that just all of a sudden triggers me. And then I go into a full-blown panic attack mode. And Steve's even told me that when I'm like that, when I get like that, it's hard. Like, it's hard for him. It was hard for him to kind of talk me down from that. It's been kind of hard for him because I am anxious about everything. Again, it's something I'm working on, but you know, it's just something, a part of your brain that's just, you know, it's not like other people. So once you can kind of come to that understanding and take yourself out of the equation too, because that was something else. I was like, when all this first happened, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did he do this? You know, did it have something to do with me and stuff like that? So, you know, once we were able to figure out what happened to him and why he did the things he did and stuff, that was really helpful. And that's what our therapist did for him. So, you know, I'm amazed by his work, but really, yes, my recovery has a lot to do with me and being open-minded, but it's not something that you could really do on your own. You know, the therapy, the Gammon meetings, talking to people that have the addiction, talking to people that are affected others, hearing both sides. I think, you know, the more you talk about it, the more you're out there, the more you're meeting people, it just really helps.
Yeah. It expands your mind. It makes you think about things, or at least for me, it makes me think when I talk to affected others or when I talk to anybody struggling with any addiction or just, you know, now in my own recovery and how much I've grown as a person, I just love conversations with people about life and their journey and you know how they've navigated it. And so, like for me with the Broke Girl Society, you know, when I first started it, it very much was just about my journey and how, you know, because I was so broken as a person from this addiction. And a lot of people think it's wordplay on gambling addiction, broke. Well, yeah, that's one word, but we can be broke in so many ways. We can be broke by addiction. We can be broke by abuse, all types of abuse. We can be broke by life in general. You know, just not even achieving where we want to be in life can break us, you know? So there's just so many aspects of what it can encompass. And so it's just like, for me, it's just a community of women and a few fellas, you know, who connect well, with female energy, but just talking about life and which direction life has taken us and all about healing and getting to the best version of that life. And so it's just, it's amazing just having conversations from all sides. Mm-hmm. And I think by doing that, it can really, really change things. And that's my biggest hope. And especially giving a voice to people who are on the other side of addiction. Because like we talked about, that's the whole reason we're doing this series. There just aren't enough voices out there for affected others.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, I never really understood why. I was surprised by that. You know, the fact that there's no podcasts out there. You don't really hear too much about it. But at least for me and the people, a lot of people I've talked to, you really do need the recovery because you've really been broken by this, you know, and, it could even help you with other aspects, like you said, you know, just by hearing some people talk about their anxieties or some people talk about their abuse, you know, it could break you and you're broken in so many ways, but, you know, loving somebody that has an addiction, it's very tough. It is a hard thing, you know, but you could work through it. And the fact that knowing that you're not alone out there and you're sharing the same feelings as other people, you know, that's very powerful. Just listening to other people talk about their side of it. And, you know, it's helped me a lot in my Gammonon meetings. I found, you know, a lot of the women in there, they're older women. So they talk about their experiences from so long ago, but a lot of times I feel like they're in my head because they'll say things and I'm like, I just felt this way. You know, so they know what it's like. And it's so much better knowing that you're not alone. You're not the only one having these feelings. I mean, like I said, when I'm down for whatever reason, I'll either try to call somebody in my Gammonon room or, you know, I'll try to listen to something that just makes me feel better about or justify my feelings, I guess is the right word to use. You know, because we're so quick, I feel like to be like, well, you know what? No, we shouldn't feel that way. I know I do it all the time. You know, why are you feeling like this? You should not be feeling like this. So listening to somebody else with your same feelings, it's like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I should feel like this. Maybe it's okay to feel like this. So just having somebody to relate to, I think, is so important.
Absolutely. The connection. And I talk about this all the time. Connection is going to be our biggest tools for not only recovery, but for life. You know, when you've got that connection with people who completely understand you. I know when I entered recovery, hearing those people share those stories, no matter how far in recovery they were, you know, they still have those kind of the same experiences, the same feelings, and hearing that and that validation and just knowing that you've found people who you don't really know, but who know you better than people who have been in your life, your whole life. And that's pretty profound. It's a pretty profound feeling. And so I'm glad we're teaming up and I'm glad that we're giving a voice to the other side, to women in this community, to anybody who's just struggling and trying to find a connection or just footing in just their road to a better life.
Yeah, absolutely. I am too. I think it'll help a lot of people.
Yeah, me too. Well, thanks so much for this chat.
Yeah, thank you. I look forward to doing many more.
Yeah, and we'll catch you next month when we release our next episode. So
sounds good.
Right.